This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company. And we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade were mixed but mostly lower yesterday. Corn for December was a half cent lower to 374 and a quarter. March corn stayed steady at 385 and a half. May corn was a quarter cent higher to 393. Soybeans for November on Wednesday were 5 cents lower to 889 and a quarter. January beans were 4.5 cents lower to 903 and a quarter. March beans were down 4 to 915. Chicago wheat for December was down 4.5 Wednesday to 477 and a quarter. March wheat was down 4 3/4 to 483 3/4. May wheat was down 5 1/4 to 488 3/4. Soybean meal for October was down 220 to 293.20. December bean meal was down $1.90 to 297.60. January bean meal was down $1.80 to 299.50. Finally, soybean oil for October finished 16 cents lower Wednesday to 29.04. December bean oil was down 13 to 29.20. January bean oil was down 14 to 29.44. So to recap your grain futures from Wednesday, corn was up a quarter to down a half, soybeans were down 4 to 5, wheat was down 4 to 5, soybean meal was down $1.80 to 2.20, soybean oil was down 13 to 16 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Wednesday afternoon. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were down 1 to 2 cents at 330 to 364. Soybean bids were down 4 to 5 cents at 813 to 844. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn bids were steady to 1 cent lower at 352 to 373. Soybean bids were down 5 to 6 cents at 835 to 869. In the southern part of the state, shelled corn bids were down a penny at 321 to 386. Soybean bids were steady to 3 cents lower at 816 to 854. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were down 4 to 5 cents at 846 to 879. Basis was unchanged to up 1 at 4300 to 10 under the November. Hypro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 276.20 to 296.20 per ton, down 220 a ton, with basis unchanged at 1700 to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were down a penny at 374 to 389, with basis unchanged at option to 15 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids down 1 to 6 cents at 346 to 369. With basis unchanged to down 5 at 28 under to 5 under the December. Soybeans ended down 2 to 5 cents at 837 to 848, with basis unchanged to up 3 at 52 under to 41 under the November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids down 6 to 8 cents at 360 to 362. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 5 to 6 cents, with quotations at 859 to 860. Soft wheat closed down 17 cents at 466 to 468, and Milo ended the day down a penny at 358 to 360. Contract bids to producers for October-November 2019 delivery, corn in the northern part of the state, 331 to 360, soybeans at 812 to 844. Contract bids to producers for October-November 2019 delivery in the central part of the state, corn at 351 to 373, soybeans at 829 to 869. Contract bids to producers for October-November 2019 delivery in the southern part of the state, corn at 321 to 384, soybeans 816 to 854, and June-July wheat at 457 to 488. That concludes our grain report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Wednesday's livestock futures finished higher across the board. Live cattle for October were up 87 cents to 103. December live cattle were up $1.07 to 108.50. February live cattle were up 77 to 114.72. Feeder cattle for September were up 32 to 141.57. October feeders were up 80 to 142.45. November feeders were up 92 to 141.12. Lean hogs for October gained 257 on Wednesday to 64.57. December lean hogs were up 230 to 71.40. February lean hogs were up 210 to 78.02. So to recap your livestock futures from Wednesday, live cattle were up 77 to $1.07. Feeder cattle were up 32 to 92. Lean hogs were up 210 to 257. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.98 higher, in a range of $40 to $51 with a weighted average carcass price of $47.95. In the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow price were steady with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows, 100 pounds traded 15 to 19, 4 to 5 weighted 16 to 21, and 5 to 6 weighted 18 to 24, and over 600 pounds, $20 to $26. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $25 to $31. Receipts for our Illinois barrels and gilts a total $24,050. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on a dress basis traded at $162. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was steady with 337 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $69.24, which is 35 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $214.63, which is 76 cents lower, while select carcasses were $189.83, which is 17 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 117,000, compared to 116,000 last week, 119,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 475,000 compared to 488,000 last week and 472,000 one year ago. A recap of the Greenville Livestock Auction for today. Ad receipts up 530 compared to last week. Slaughter steers sold 3.25 higher. Slaughter heifers were 1.25 higher. Holstein steers were $1.50 higher. Choice steers at 101 to 107. Holstein steers choice at $79 to $86. Heifers choice at $101 to $107. And Holstein heifers choice at $80. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by the Sloan Implement Company. Part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections, by the Litchfield National Bank, by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in Ag News for a Thursday morning, President Trump announced a trade deal with Japan during a United Nations visit in New York, though it's not clear if a key obstacle to a final comprehensive agreement was worked out. President Trump made the announcement during his meeting at the UN with Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Trump said he was announcing a market access agreement.
We're announcing today Japan will open new markets to approximately $7 billion in American agricultural products. Japanese tariffs will now be significantly lower or eliminated entirely for U.S. beef, pork, wheat, cheese, corn, wine, and so much more. This is a huge victory for America's farmers, ranchers, and growers, and that's very important to me.
The National Corn Growers Association hailed what it called this Phase 1 agreement. As late as Tuesday, there was reporting Japan was insisting on assurances from Trump he would not impose threatened national security tariffs on Japanese autos. Trump had not backed off on the threat. Pro-trade lawmakers have urged the president to drop his threat and get on with the Japan deal. Japan is the third largest economy, and a comprehensive deal would make up for about 90% of what the U.S. lost by pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. In other news from Washington, ag lawmakers are worried the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement could become collateral damage amid the House Democrat move to impeach the president. House Ag Chair and Minnesota Democrat Colin Peterson issued a statement that impeachment will be a, quote, failed process that will end up even further dividing our country and weakening our ability to act together on the issues like passing the USMCA. Peterson then stated this on a conference call with reporters.
It's mucking up the process, and it's taking the oxygen out of the room. And at the end of the day, the Senate is not going to do this anyway. So what are we doing here? I just don't think it makes any sense.
Peterson had this to say at a USMCA farmer rally recently.
I immediately came out in favor of USMCA. I think it's a good agreement, and it's something that we need to get done.
Now, Peterson, a moderate Blue Dog Democrat, isn't so sure. Neither are Republicans, including longtime USMCA backer and Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley.
Congress must step up and deliver for our hardworking farmers, and in a sense, by getting this agreement passed, helping all America.
The time for the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement is now.
Grassley later issued a written statement warning Democrats that if they use impeachment as a basis not to act on policy that helps America, like the USMCA, it will hurt them politically. Moving on now into some grain news. Potential quality issues in this year's corn crop means farmers will have more work after harvest. Dr. Charles Herberg of Iowa State University mentioned the possibility for low test weight in corn. Identifying, drying, and moving this lighter corn is essential.
The storage issue will be primarily identifying the lower test weight grain, managing wet holding to the point where you don't keep it sitting wet. That would just expend its shelf life and kind of get it moving. If we have some corn that's below 53 or 52, then that's a candidate for sure to sell as quickly as possible.
Dr. Herberg says achieving consistency will pay dividends. Trying to separate your corn out by test weight instead of running it all together will help you reach this consistency.
Trying to get consistency out of a variable product will pay some big rewards. In other words, not mixing everything together. Trying to do some sorting if it were me, I'd sort by test weight and try to kind of even it out a little bit more than what you would get just by random chance. So those things will pay dividends this year because we'll have a lot of variability in the storage.
Herberg reminds farmers that grain quality will not improve in storage. It can only degrade further.
Once you've done all you can right at harvest and gotten it into a bin, nothing's going to get any better at that point in terms of it's not going to get any heavier, it's not going to get any more storable, it's not going to break up any less in handling, and that's another thing that lower test weight will do is give us more fines and broken kernels in handling. So the key is to even things out and take great care at harvest to pay dividends down the road. I'm sure we will have some storage problems. I think we can probably not avoid it, but we can even them out somewhat.
Dr. Herberg talks about the most important things to consider when storing this year's crop. This includes paying close attention to your grain temperatures in the bin. Vigilance and maintaining a consistent temperature will be your best friend this storage season.
And it will be important this year to take the center cores out of bins, so to take the two or three loads out of the center in order to get rid of as much broken pieces and fines as we possibly can before we go into the storage season. Keeping it cold will be important. That kind of squashes, even if we do have some wet corn in bins or mixtures of moisture. The colder we can keep it, the lower amount of spoilage we're going to have. Can't keep it cold forever, but it certainly is important to get it cold quickly.
And again, that was Dr. Charles Herberg of Iowa State University, who is their grain quality specialist. Moving on now to state ag news, deer hunting ramps up next week in Illinois. The archery season begins on October 1st, and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is offering a few reminders as hunters get set to head out into the fields and the woods.
There'll be a lot of bow hunters out and ready to go. And, of course, archery deer permits. Residents of the state want to buy an archery deer permit. You can get them over the counter at places that sell Illinois Department of Natural Resources licenses and permits. Those are available, and they'll be available throughout the season. They're statewide permits. You don't need to buy it for a specific county. But we want to encourage folks, if they're getting ready for hunting season, and bow hunting deer is the real kickoff to the prime time of fall hunting here in Illinois, that they make sure that, say you're planning to hunt from an elevated tree stand. We want to make sure that hunters get their tree stand installed properly. If they need to get that done here in the next week or so before they perhaps plan to be out opening day or in the opening few days of the season, make sure your tree stand is properly installed. Or if you leave it up all year on your own property, perhaps give it a take a checklist out, a safety checklist, and make sure everything is secure and ready. We don't want folks getting up in an elevated tree stand and having a mishap and ending up on the ground. We'd rather that you climb in safely, be secure when you're in that elevated stand, and be safe getting out as well. We want folks to enjoy hunting, not have a trip to the hospital as part of their hunting trip.
That was the IDNR's Tim Schweitzer. He also says if you plan to hunt public land, make sure you check the regulations for the specific site. And if you're hunting someone's private land, make sure you have their permission, because trespass laws do apply. The two firearm deer weekends in Illinois are November 16th through the 18th and November 29th through December 2nd. More information on hunting requirements is available online at dnr.illinois.gov. In other state news, state climatologist Trent Ford does not foresee a freeze occurring in the state until the latter part of October. He says it clearly won't happen in September.
I actually looked at this morning the most recent output from the climate forecast system, NOAA's climate models, and they're showing that the model simulations don't show a above 50% probability of a 32-degree freeze. So not the 28, but a 32-degree freeze anywhere in Illinois until the week of October 22nd or 29th. So when just focus on probabilities, it's a better chance than not that we won't see a freeze, at least for the remainder of September. So the outlooks are showing that October should be somewhat similar to September, but, you know, the farther we get out, the more uncertainty there is in those outlooks. And so as far as the early October, early to mid-October freeze, we're a little bit too far out to say with more certainty about what that shows.
Ford says from September 1st until the 23rd, the average temperature in most of southwestern Illinois was 10 degrees above normal, which he says is a pretty large deviation for that period of time. And in other ag news from the state, we'll go over the crop progress and condition reports one more time for you that were released on Monday. Statewide, the average temperature last week was at 74.5 degrees, or 10.5 degrees above normal. Precipitation around the state was about 8-tenths of an inch, or 4-hundredths of an inch below normal. The topsoil moisture supply is still pretty saturated at 59% adequate and 8% surplus. Same goes for the subsoil moisture, which is 62% adequate and 7% surplus. Corn in the dough stage is at 97%. Corn dented is at 77%. Corn mature to this point is at 26%. Corn harvested for grain as of Sunday was at 2%, which is compared to 26% last year and 16% over the past five. The corn condition was rated at 4% very poor, 14% poor, 37% fair, 39% good, and 6% excellent. Soybean setting pods thus far is at 96%. Soybeans starting to color are at 53%, which is compared to 92% last year and 85% for the last 5 years. Soybeans dropping their leaves are at 14%, and the overall soybean condition throughout Illinois is at 4% very poor, 14% poor, 39% fair, 36% good, and 7% excellent. Winter wheat planted thus far is only at 1%. And in some other important news, The tax implications of the MFP payments are that the money is taxable in the year that it is received. So for MFP 2, half of the payment has already been or will be delivered shortly. It is expected 25% will be delivered in a second check come November, and if needed, the third check, which is another 25% of the total, is likely to come in January of 2020. The first two checks are taxable this year, and the final portion would be taxable next year. Another payment farmers may not have been used to dealing with lately involves the prevented planting portion of the crop insurance, says Bob Ray.
Those payments are either taxable when received or under certain circumstances could be deferred until 2020, the year after the disaster occurred. So they should visit with their tax professional to determine, especially as we near year end, on whether those should be taken as 2019 income or used under the election to be treated as 2020 income.
Ray presented during this fall's Illinois Farm Tax School seminar. He reminded the tax preparers in attendance that farmers also have a unique way to make charitable contributions.
IRS has prescribed some specific steps to validate a contribution with grain. And one of those is that the grain must be delivered to the charity. The charity has to become the subsequent owner of that grain inventory. And then the producer should notify the charity that he's provided X number of bushels in their name at a certain location. The charity then, from that point, takes the risk, makes the sale, and handles the cash proceeds from there.
In simpler terms, the producer can deliver grain in the name of the charity to the grain elevator, notify the charity, and then the charity will make the sale. Moving on to some ag events around the local area, don't forget that tonight will be a beginner level 1 sewing class from 6:30 until 8 this evening at the Extension office in Hillsboro. And then on Sunday, the Montgomery County 4-H will be holding shooting sports along with archery and air rifles. That'll be held Sunday afternoon from 1:30 until 3 at the 4-H Park in Butler. And that just about does it for this Thursday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Thursday morning, September 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.